Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus, our blessed Lord and Savior, the one we worship this holy day. Amen. I want to talk about the gospel today, Matthew 10, as Jesus sends out the 12 disciples. We pray, Lord, you promise that whenever your word is proclaimed, be it by Jeremiah, by Peter, Paul, John, the apostles, by pastors and teachers and missionaries, that it will not return to you empty, but will accomplish what you desire. We ever pray you would accomplish in us what you desire. Work repentance in us. Draw us to faith, a stronger understanding and knowledge. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm not sure I want to go. How about you? I have a hunch the disciples may have whispered that to each other in Matthew 10. Peter maybe nudged John and James, Nathaniel, they all kind of whispered, I'm not sure I want to go. How about you? Jesus is sending them out on a mission trip. They have to be somewhat excited. He's going to send them to the area there to proclaim the kingdom of God. They're going to be off on their own for a little while. He sends them out. Then he tells them quite clearly and bluntly and straightforwardly what's going to happen. It's not going to be easy, guys. You're not going to be liked. You're not going to be popular. It's not going to go that well, to be honest with you. He says you're going to be hated. Brother will betray brother. You're going to cause division in families. A father will have his child killed because of me and the gospel. And the gospel splits up families. Some believe, some don't. Marriages, some believe, some don't. Father and children. That's going to happen. You're going to be hated, persecuted. You're going to be like Jeremiah the weeping prophet. If they call me Beelzebub, which means devil, Jesus is saying, guess what they're going to call you? They're going to mock you and malign you and insult you. You're going to bear a cross because I'm going to bear a cross. It's not going to be easy. It's really quite alarming, straightforward language here as he sends people out on a mission. Yet notice he still sends them out. He doesn't say, well, that's a bad idea. Why am I even sending you out? Let's just stay home. He still sends them out to be a witness that someone be saved, if not many. I'm not sure I want to go. How about you? They maybe whispered to each other. And the Lord here in 45 minutes to an hour will send us out to our occupations, our lives, our callings in life in Knoxville or wherever we live. And how are we to live in this world as Christians when our world in America is more and more non-Christian? And we all sense it and know it, feel it, read about it. How do we live? Well, the Lord tells the disciples and us how we live in the world. We stand. He who stands firm to the end will be saved. What do you do as you live in the world? You stand as a Christian. You stand up for Jesus. That's what we do. We stand. There are three postures of a Christian. One thing we do often is we kneel. We kneel before God. We kneel before His King. We kneel in confession of sins. We kneel. It's a common posture. We also sit. You're doing it right now. You sit and you listen to God's Word because we love the Word of God. We sit and listen. But then as we go to the world, we don't kneel so much out there. We don't sit so much out there. We stand before the world. Now, what does that really mean? To stand. What's Christ really talking about? Well, let me mention three things that involve standing. And this is why we stand in church. We don't merely do that to keep you awake. But there's a reason for standing as Christians. First of all, the posture of standing is a posture of readiness. The Lord is saying, be ready. Other places in the Bible, keep watch. Stay awake, He says. Many will be lulled to sleep. Many will become lazy and apathetic in their faith and kind of drift away without even realizing it. But you stand and be awake and be ready for anything that life brings you. Be ready and alert. That's what he means, first of all. Don't fall asleep. Don't get lazy. Don't compromise your faith. Stand. I don't know. It's hard to sleep when you're standing. Not sure. I guess you're a horse or a cow. Maybe they stand and sleep. Be ready, be alert, pay attention to what's going on in the world, and don't be shocked by anything. There's hatred, persecution, and you're mocked and ridiculed. You're lonely as a Christian. No one likes you because of your values as a Christian. Well, you believe it. Don't be shocked. Don't run and hide. Don't become scared. Don't panic and cry in the corner. The Lord says it's going to happen. It happened to him. It's going to happen to you. Be ready for it. There's going to be much hatred. And so what do? We don't cower in the corner. Look at how hateful the world is. We love is what we do. And we love even our enemies. And that's a witness of how we love people. Look at how they love one another. Look at how they love their enemies. That's what we do. We forgive people. The world wants to get revenge and get them back. And yet the Christian says, I will forgive 70 times, seven times. Because God forgives me. And we show mercy in a world of evil and hatred and betrayal. We're merciful people. We love our brothers and sisters. We don't betray them. We're compassionate and we're kind in all that we say and do. We're gentle. We're honest. We're hardworking. As the world cheats and lies and tries to get by with things, we're different. And the world notices, you're different. That's our Christian witness. I'm a baptized child of God. I'm a Christian, and I stand up for Christ, and I speak His truth. I will not compromise it. I will confess Him and live my life for Him. Even though everybody else doesn't, I will, because I'm a Christian. I'm ready for anything. Shocked by nothing. You know, I read of some strange places that one can vacation in a little article this week. Strange vacation spots that you might want to go visit. I guess there's some spot out west where you can stand in four states at one time. Am I right? The kids are out in Colorado, New Mexico, Utah, whatever states are out there. They all meet together, four states. You can just flags there. You can stand there. Now, that would be a great vacation. Let's go and be in four states at one time. I have a hard enough time being in one state at one time, okay? Another strange spot is, they say, the Lost Sea down here at Sweetwater. Beautiful, but it's kind of odd and strange to see at the bottom of a cave. But the one that got my attention was, you can go see a stamp ball in Nebraska. There's a little small town in Nebraska that has the world's biggest stamp ball. There are some 4 or 5 million stamps glued together, and it's several feet high, a stamp ball. Now, who's going to go see the stamp ball in Nebraska? What a vacation. When I heard that and read that, I thought, someone has too much time on their hands. Or some kid got in trouble and he has to lick a lot of stamps. I don't know. But you know, we say we're such busy people. I think a lot of us are bored. We're always looking for something new we have to go do. I'll go see a stamp ball. I'm so bored in my life. It's time we Christians stop being bored about our Savior, or we're going to be cut off. It's time to stand up for Christ and be about the business He's called us to be, which is His witnesses. We are left here as witnesses, as light, as salt, in all we say and do. Not to be some lazy bum on the street that hardly has a use. If we're not useful, God will get rid of us. Be useful. Be a Christian. And don't be ashamed about it. Readiness to face whatever. Secondly, standing is remaining where you're at. Stand firm, he's saying. In other words, don't budge. Don't move with the world. Don't change with the world. You stand firm, immovable, stable, steady. There's readiness, there's steadiness. And that's the Christian. Standing is a posture of, I'm not going to budge. We think of Luther's words, the Diet of Worms. Here I stand, he said. I cannot do otherwise. That's the idea of standing. So remain, Christian, where you're at. And where are you right now? You're in church, if you didn't realize that yet. Remain in the church, meaning remain in the Word of God. It's our only hope. Remain in the sacrament of Christ's body, but eat and drink and eat and drink and listen and hear. Remain in your baptism. Confess your sins. Be absolved. Remain in these things. Be resolute. Everybody else goes to something new and different. I remain in Christ. I'm the branch that will remain in the vine, because if I break myself off, I will die and be fuel for hell. Remain. resolute in the church, in the gospel, in Christ. And what a witness we are when so many people drift to other religions, other beliefs, other philosophies, other heresies. I like that, I like that, I like that. No, I love this, the Word of God, and here I stand. You know who got in trouble this week I saw? Dr. Oz. I kind of like it when these doctors get in trouble. No, I don't. But you watch Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil. I don't watch either, but I know there's a Dr. Oz, this kind of charismatic doctor who has a cure for everything, a solution for this, a solution for that. Well, he got in trouble. He got called by whoever to talk about what was happening on his show because you know what he was doing on his show? He was exaggerating things, embellishing the truth to make it look like such and such was a cure when it really wasn't. He was exaggerating, embellishing things and using flowery language to describe things. And guess why he was doing that? For TV ratings. Oh, we're shocked by that, aren't we? The world always hyped something. There's always some kind of hype, some kind of exaggeration, some embellishment of something, a stamp ball or whatever it is. Got to go do this, got to go do this. Some embellishment. Here in the church, we don't exaggerate anything. We don't embellish anything. There's fact and truth here, and we stand on it. We don't need some hype of the world. Jesus is God, it's the truth. He died for the sins of the world, everybody, including you and I. It's the truth. It's not embellishment. It's not exaggeration. It's not hype to get you here. He rose again on Easter. It's not hype. There's forgiveness of sins for the whole world. No embellishment on that one. We have eternal glory in His name. That's what we stand on. In this crazy, changing world, on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Readiness, remaining resolute, and last of all, standing is a posture of resurrection. It's our Easter posture. Christ didn't remain in the tomb laying down. He stood up, and He stands now as the King of glory at the right hand of the Father. It's the Easter posture. It's the posture of winning, of victory. If you're on a losing team or you're a loser, you slump over and have your head down. You're sitting. But winners stand up. The San Antonio Spurs stood up the other day. And the Miami Heat and LeBron James were sitting down slumping. You stand up. I've won. I've conquered. And this is why we stand in church. Not to keep you awake. We're victors. We're winners. Though we be hated, though we be persecuted, maligned, mocked, killed, so what? I've won in Christ, who's defeated sin, death, and hell. My God, my refuge, my strength. And I'm a winner, more than a conqueror, Paul says, through Him who loved us. Standing implies forgiveness. If you're really, really burdened and you have a heavy burden on you, you can't stand. So we stand because the burden is off. Christ has taken the burden. He's taken the sins. I'm unshackled. I'm free, as Paul says in the epistle today. Standing has the idea of a sure foundation. If you're in an earthquake, you're holding on because your foundation is shaky. We stand because we have a sure foundation. His name is Jesus. He'll never let me down. My solid rock that I stand on. You know, I read where optimists live longer than pessimists. So, Pat, I'm going to live longer than you, I think. No. You know how much longer an optimist lives than a pessimist? They say 9 years longer. I don't know if I want to live long that 9 more years anyway, but if you're optimistic, you live 9 years longer if you're just positive and optimistic. And that's just about worldly stuff that doesn't really matter. Are Christians optimistic? You better believe it. Not about this world. Notice Jesus' words are not real optimistic. There's hatred and pain and suffering. But our optimism is in Christ and the gospel and glory. What a future we all have, folks. Resurrection of the body, eternal glory, heaven, gold streets, pearly gates. That all awaits us. We're victors in Jesus. So we have great hope A sure and certain hope, not some pie-in-the-sky optimism, but a sure and certain hope in Jesus and glory. And this is why we stand, and why even when we suffer, we have joy, and we're hurt, we have peace, and we keep proclaiming and living for Christ, because I'm a winner in Jesus. Though the world hate me, He loves me, and that's what matters. So He sends us out. Maybe we don't want to go face what we got to face this week. You are worth more than many sparrows. He knows the number of hairs on your head. And you're worth more than all of that. You're worth the blood of God's Son on the cross. So what's there to fear? Go forth to face whatever life brings you this week. Face it in faith. Christ is with you and beside you and under you and behind you and in front of you. Stand. Stand firm to the end. Amen. We stand. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.